From the Gettysburgian and 91.1 WZBT Gettysburg, I'm Ben Ponce, and this is On Target.
I'm Gary Mangala, and today on Target we will be discussing the recent photo found in a 1980 yearbook of Bob Garthwaite.
Stay with us. All right, well, this edition of On Target is going to be a rather lengthy news segment. We're going to get into the main story that has transfixed the Gettysburg College campus over the last week or so. On Tuesday, in the morning, Gettysburg College President Janet Morgan Riggs sent an email to the entire campus community announcing that trustee Bob Garthwaite, class of 1982, had resigned after it was discovered by a history major conducting research in college archives that Mr. Garthwaite was wearing a Nazi uniform in a yearbook photo taken at a fraternity party that was published in the 1980 edition of Spectrum, which is the college's yearbook. It since has become apparent that photo was taken at a party where the theme was Hogan's Heroes, which was a sitcom, I suppose you could say, but from the late 1960s to the early, I believe it ended in 1971, at Stalag 13 was where it took place. It was a prisoner of war camp wherein the Nazis were played by these kind of buffoon characters. And the American prisoners of war essentially continued to operate their operations during the war. And so I think that it certainly has caused a great deal of reaction in a variety of different directions. Gary, why don't you talk a little bit about what some of that reaction has been and from whom it has come?
Yeah, I think on one end, we do need to talk about, like, the way that the student body has reacted. It started out, I think, with a lot of outrage. At least that was what was being heard at first, was just very loud outrage about someone who is such a big name in the college community wearing a swastika and wearing Nazi garb. And then that transformed into, you know, our article gets first posted and we're seeing a lot of Facebook comments from alums and members of the community, parents of students, also very outraged by this. But that quickly transformed into what we saw with people being upset about the reactions of others, specifically, you know, saying that this is the mob mentality of the 21st century, essentially that we are now too sensitive.
Yeah, it certainly has been rather, I guess what they call it these days is a meta reaction wherein people are angry that people are angry.
Yeah, definitely. And then I think beyond that, it's been a lot of discussions about what should have happened or what should happen in terms of decisions about Garthwaite's resignation from the board, while both Garthwaite and President Riggs maintain that this was Garthwaite's decision. Many are not as willing to believe that that is the case. So a lot of people do think that he was pushed to resign from the board. Many who are, you know, advocating that this was mob mentality argue that Garthwaite should not have been removed from the board, that students are ruining Garthwaite's reputation by talking about this further. However, some, you know, op-eds that have been published on the Gettysburgian and just some Facebook comments and comments on our website have also been saying that this apology wasn't enough. So on both ends, it's a lot of, you know, this shouldn't have happened or this should happen, but not a lot of what that actually is. I would say, you know, oh, this shouldn't have been done. Well, what should have been done? Or this wasn't good enough. Well, what would have been good enough? And I think on both ends, it's been very heated. We had an editor's meeting a few days ago. We're recording this on a Saturday, so I think it was on a Thursday. And I think the word that we could just come up with is polarized, because I don't think there's any other way to describe it at this point. People are upset. I don't think there's a single person on this campus that it feels very indifferent to the situation anymore. You have an opinion or you're confused or you're perplexed by it, but no one's feeling comfortable, I don't think. I think at the end of the day, people are just not comfortable talking about it. And when they are, it's a lot of just anxiety regarding this.
Yeah, and I want to walk through kind of the mechanics of what happened here.
Absolutely.
So last week, Cameron Sowers, who is a sophomore history major, was in the college archives conducting research. It's not entirely clear under what circumstances, whether it was for a class assignment or, you know, for another on-campus organization or just for fun. But he was conducting research in the yearbooks and came across this photo. He alerted a friend of his, Hannah Labowitz, who is a member of Hillel, which is the campus's Jewish organization. And the two of them alerted the director of the college's Judaic Studies program, such as it is, Dr. Steven Stern, who's also a religious studies professor. And from there, it kind of went up the chain. It got to Andy Hughes at the Garth Waite Leadership Center. It got to the dean, and ultimately it landed on the desk of the president of the college. And along the way, it also got to Kristen Largen, who's the chaplain, and David Bass, who's the professional staff person in charge of Hillel. But anyway, it got to the president. The president spoke with Bob Garth Waite Sunday afternoon, at which point he told her that he would resign from the board, a decision that he supposedly, as you mentioned, Gari, made on his own without it being suggested to him. You know, I have spoken since then with some people who have some thoughts on that, and we'll get into that in a minute. Mm. But after that call happened on Sunday, on Monday of this week, I believe it was in the afternoon on Monday that Ramsey and Riggs met with Cameron Sowers and Hannah Labowitz. And then on Tuesday morning, it was announced to the campus that Garth Waite had resigned and that this had happened. The email that the president sent out has drawn some attention. It said that she is sure everyone will be deeply disturbed by this photo, mm-hmm. which some have suggested that that framing of the issue was inappropriate. On the other hand, people have said that the fact that she has given a great deal of airtime in her emails to commending Bob Garth Waite's handling of the situation mm-hmm. is rubbing some other people the wrong way. Steven Stern was quoted in our coverage and in the Associated Press, which picked up this story, you know, saying that he thinks the college should give back the money that Garth Waite has donated over the years. Garth Waite has donated at least $2.5 million to the college, including $1 million to set up what has become the Garth Waite Leadership Center. And that's been in existence now, I believe, 8 years. And so, you know, I think that the story is kind of no longer the story. It's the reaction that has become the story. And there's a great deal of that reaction that has come from a variety of constituencies and a variety of perspectives. I do want to say, in regard to the story, before we get to the reaction, that on the story, people that I've spoken to in the coverage that we've written have said, who knew Bob Garth Waite when he was a student or in his subsequent professional career, have said that they believe he resigned because he thought that would be best for the college, not as any sort of admission of culpability. Mm. On the other hand, I think that his email or his quotes that have been in the president's emails,
yeah.
I mean, he did make a sincere, you know, he said that he sincerely apologized. That apology has been dissected, and many people have said that it's not enough. When you ask what is enough, sometimes they suggest they mostly hone in on a line in the apology wherein Garth Waite said, as a sophomore in college, he did not fully appreciate the Nazi imagery associated with the costume. And some people have said, well, you know, then the liberal arts education of Gettysburg College is not worth the paper it's printed on. And so, you know, I think there is, and I, you know, have said this a few times in a few different contexts now, I think this, at this point, transcends Bob Garthwaite, because what we're now talking about is how the college reacted and should have reacted, and not really whether it was right or wrong to have a photo. And I think that all the comments that have been made on in cyberspace have now been about, should people be offended, or should we be offended that people are offended?
Yeah.
And that's been concerning.
I want to say two things. First, I want to retort back on that, you know, the argument that he should have known as a sophomore in college. A lot of, like, I am a sophomore in college. I am class of 21. So is Cam Sowers and so is Hannah Labowitz. And, you know, yeah, I know not to dress in Nazi garb. However, research points to the fact that that's not, like, what the swastika means today. What we saw in Charlottesville, what we see around the country of white supremacy, is not what it was then. It was a sign of, it was exactly what, you know, Hogan's Heroes was depicting. It was a sign of the fall of the Nazi regime. It was the fall of the Third Reich. And it was, in some ways, a sign of American pride.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what the point of Steve Evans, who's a Jewish fraternity brother of Bob Garthwaite's, who was quoted in one of our articles, said exactly that.
You know,
I, over the past several days, have been endeavoring to read about symbolic history, you know, the history of the symbol.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard because no one is going to publish something that says something is not a symbol of something.
Absolutely.
In other words, no one is going to publish in the 1980s, this is not a symbol of white supremacy, you know. And so it's been a little bit, well, not a little bit, it's been tricky to track that down. I think that to your point, though, there is one of the more reasonable critiques of this whole situation that I've heard, I think, is the idea that we're imposing 2019 cultural standards on 1979, 1980.
Absolutely. And I think that that's something to bring up. Like, yeah, you're a sophomore in college and like you should know better, blah, blah, blah. But if everyone, it's the same thing that we talk about with blackface, with minstrel shows, with everything else we read in our history books. Like, yeah, we want to say that, oh, well, we know it's racist, or we know it's this, or we know it's that. But at the end of the day, if everyone around you is saying that it's okay and it's saying that it's funny with minstrel shows specifically, or saying that this is fine and this is culture, how are you supposed to be the one to fight against that, even if you feel like it's wrong? Like, how are you supposed to do that? We see that, you know, I have a friend who was saying, like, you know, I dressed up as Jesus before. Maybe in 40 years, that's going to be offensive. But is it offensive? Like, it isn't really that offensive now. What, like, am I supposed to be held to those standards 40 years from now when I'm getting a job for something that was fine then? You know, we all grew up with kids dressing up as Mulan and Pocahontas. And, like, now that's frowned upon. And now we talk about it. But we didn't talk about it 10 years ago very much. You know, I dressed up as a Chinese princess. I'm not Chinese, you know, and I know I did that. But, like, we weren't taught that. So I'm not going to sit here and chastise my 5-year-old self for doing that because no one around me was telling me that that was wrong. And I don't think it's fair to say that someone who is 20 years old is able to say that that was wrong. If white supremacy was not the imagery associated with the swastika, how is it fair to say that Garthwaite was supposed to look 40 years into the future to know that that would be our reality? I don't think anyone should have to look at anything and think it's going to end up being something of white supremacy. No one should have to depict the 40 years from now we would be dealing with the aftermath of Charlottesville. And I'm not saying that, like, but on the flip side of all of that, I don't think it's fair, on the other hand, for people to be reading, you know, people's concerns and people's opinions and feelings towards this, because at the end of the day, you can't really control your emotions. You can't control what offends you. Pittsburgh happened last semester. It's still very fresh in a lot of people's brains. Things keep happening. And I don't think it's fair for anyone to say that someone is a snowflake or it's mob mentality to be hurt, to be offended.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting point. One of the things that has been talked about a little bit, and some folks that I've talked to have said, is that, you know, if you're a member of the Jewish community, or and some people have taken issue with the fact that the college has only really talked about members of the Jewish community as people who can reasonably be offended by what they saw, as if the Nazis didn't, kill and systematically, seek to eradicate all kinds of, other groups of people. But if you're a member of any of those groups, or even if, you're someone who has a veteran in your family that may have fought in World War II and opposed this, to see the, arguably the most visible trustee and visible donor to the college wearing that uniform in 2019, I think that that can reasonably create a visceral reaction. And some of the more disturbing commentary that I've seen in the aftermath of this is of people saying that people shouldn't be offended by seeing a Nazi symbol and a Nazi uniform. Maybe the context, I mean, certainly the context was different, to your
100%.
Point. 100%. But I would tend to agree with what you said, that, apologizing for one's visceral reaction, particularly to something as stark as this, seems unnecessary.
I spent a lot of that Tuesday afternoon reading comments on the Facebook, where a lot of people were, I think that's people's usually their first line of fire at this point. And some of the things I was seeing was pretty disturbing. I think more disturbing than any photo would be, I think it was people's reactions to people's reactions. I don't think it's productive for the conversations to come and go with, I think we've talked before on this podcast about how it's not productive to call someone else racist, and how it's not productive to just do that and like close the line there. And it's not productive to just end a conversation rather than wanting to educate and communicate. I think those are the two biggest things that you can learn in college. That's what I think I've taken away as I've been at Gettysburg, is it's not about fighting. It's about educating and communicating and doing both of those things and not just picking one. On the flip side, I don't think it's productive to call someone a snowflake or say it's mob mentality. I hate this word, but people were calling people pussies, on the Facebook. And I don't think that that's productive. And I don't think that anyone can really study any bit of the European theater of World War II and not be able to understand why Nazism is terrifying for a lot of people. Learning about the Holocaust and learning about Kristallnacht and learning about all that stuff, how it shocked me to think that people didn't get it. I understand that people are upset by the way, how far it was going on one end, about talking about the resignation, about talking about wanting to change the name of the GLC, which is a completely different story. I think there's the story of Bob Garthwaite, the person, and what is happening in 2019 to Bob Garthwaite, the person. I think it's a completely different story how people are reacting to the photo in 1980. I think you are allowed to separate those two things and look at the photo and be offended and be able to look at Bob Garthwaite today and look at these two different paths of a person, because at the end of the day, that photo is never going to change. That's not how pictures and photography and the written word work. That photo will always exist in people's brains, and that can't go away. That's not how anything works. You were bringing up veterans. That's a dying breed now, veterans of World War II, but that PTSD isn't going to go away, and I don't think it's fair for anyone to look at someone who gave their life for their country in World War II and say, you can't be offended by the swastika. I don't think that's a fair thing to say. And I get on one hand, people are upset that this is all coming back and saying, well, this is what Bob Garthwaite is in 2019. And I don't think that that's a fair assumption to make. I don't think you can look at a person and look at their life 40 years ago and say that this is what you are today. You change every day. You change every minute. And there's no way for you to look at a person and say that nothing has changed in 40 years. I don't think that the man we saw in that photo would have given as eloquent of an apology if that photo had been found the next day. And like if 2019 had come the next day, I don't think a 20-year-old would have given that response to this. I think the way I'm listening to this campus talk about it, there's no way a lot of the people that have a lot to say about this issue could give a response to being called out like that.
Yeah. And I do want to say that it is not the case. You know, I think that the narrative that is emerging here with respect to this story is that everyone who saw this photo in the 1980 yearbook that was a student and everyone who would have attended the party and who was a student here knew that this wasn't, problematic, knew that this was just a spoof on Hogan's Heroes, and that everyone today who's sitting here saying, you know, these are Nazis, this is bad, is, you know, whatever. I think that is not, well, I don't think that's not the case. That is emphatically not the case. We've spoken to people. People have been commenting who were students in the 1970s and the 1980s who said that this photo gave them a bad feeling at the time. I spoke with one alumna in particular who told me that as soon as she saw a headline that that a photo had been discovered in a college yearbook, in a Gettysburg College yearbook, she knew it had to be this one, that, you know, she was unsettled by this photo at the time. And so, you know, it's not the case that everyone in 1980, 1979, thought this was universally appropriate. Maybe every member of CRO, Alpha Chi Rho, the fraternity that hosted this party, maybe all of those members, including all of the Jewish members, of which there were several and of which we've spoken to some, maybe they were fine with it. But to say that everyone in 1979 was fine with this, again, misses the nuance here. And I think that if anything can be taken away that I am willing to paint with a broad brush, and you know that I'm loath to paint with broad brushes, the only thing I'm willing to say emphatically and categorically with respect to this situation is that it is an absolute indictment of an inability to have the very type of conversation that the liberal arts are supposed to teach people to have.
Absolutely. I think that what I've seen from this is just arguments. And arguments are not discourse. I think a lot of people think that, you know, just shutting people down in what they want to say is discourse, is communicating, and it's not. I've been in conversation. I've had the most educated conversations I've had was with the staff of the Gettysburgian, which is a room of, you know, 19 to 22 year olds. And I've seen adults that have gone through the education of Gettysburg College fighting each other on Facebook. And it's not communication. It's not discussing, okay, well, here's where I'm coming from. And I understand it's a Facebook comment. It's not like that's just not how it's going to go. No one's going to sit and say, hey, let's take this to a private place. Let's have a phone call. Let's talk about this. I understand that's not how it's going to go. But I'm upset when I see comments about like Gettysburg College, a degree from Gettysburg College is not worth the paper it's printed on, or I'm ashamed to be an alum of Gettysburg College. Because if the point of a liberal arts education is to be able to listen to the other side, which is something that we've been talking about for years here, specifically in like the last 2 or 3 years, we've been discussing, you know, being able to talk about it with this emergence of white supremacy and of the alt-right and under this presidency. We've been talking so much in this country about being able to talk for your side, but listen to the other side. And also talking about the fact that not everything is a two-sided coin. It hurts me that people seem to think that just a Facebook comment or a Twitter post or whatever it is appropriate in this situation, and just painting everything with one broad brush, as you said, is an appropriate response to what I think is such a nuanced situation.
I think that's right. I mean, it certainly is the case that everyone loves to talk about the virtue of the liberal arts. Mm. Everyone loves to talk about talking, you know, and listening. Everyone loves to talk about how we need to all come together. Everyone loves to talk about how we grow from learning from these differences. The reason that those are talking points that everyone likes to trumpet as unique virtues of a liberal arts education is because in large swaths of society, they don't happen. And I think what this week has exposed is they don't happen at Gettysburg College either.
Yeah. And if they're not happening at Gettysburg College, where are they happening? I think I really start to question what we, just as a country as a whole, we try to say that, like, we've all come together and, like, it's a melting pot and da-da-da-da-da. And for the most part, that's another thing that's been brought up a lot, I think, is the difference between anti-Semitism and racism. It's something that we've been talking about. And I know that racism is a hard topic for a lot of people in this country to discuss, but I was working under the opinion that everyone was just kind of against Nazis. Like, that's just kind of how I was raised, was a thing. Like, that was just a thing that everyone accepted. Like, I understand this is a podcast, so you can't see me, but I am not white. I'm Indian. I was raised by immigrants. And I knew that racism was like a nuanced topic. I didn't talk about it, but I went through my schooling here in Pennsylvania and we talked about Nazis and there was not a single person in the room in defense of the Nazis. You know, that's just not how it went. And it's been such a weird week hearing the way people are talking and just not understanding that, like, yes, it's a nuanced situation. The picture has, obviously, like, there's other sentiments. We've mentioned all of this. But the fact that people just are just forgetting that World War II happened, that so many millions of people died, not just Jewish people, but people of color, people in the military, homosexuals, all these different types of people that just didn't fit this one mold of human being that was allowed to exist on a planet were eradicated from this world. And we can't see why somebody might be upset by that in 2019. That's the disturbing thing to me. It's not this photo. It's not what Bob Garthwaite did or is doing. It's not what the college did or is doing. It's the people not understanding that people are allowed to have emotions, frankly.
Yeah. And I mean, certainly it is the case that this photo, by all accounts, was taken at a party that at the time it happened, no one, including members of the Jewish community, had a problem with, for the most part, with the exceptions that I mentioned earlier. Say, you know, most people were fine with it. That's fine. It's also fine to object to taking a photo out of context to crucify someone who, has certainly, to crucify anyone, but particularly someone like Bob Garthwaite, who has been extremely generous to the college, both with his time and with his money. I think what people are missing here is that Bob Garthwaite, on his own, by all accounts, decided to resign. It's not as if he was fired. And we're setting up this kind of straw man argument where Gettysburg College students in particular are these hippie liberals running around campus, in a 21st century lynch mob who are taking down esteemed leaders of the college just cuz. And I just don't really think that I've met anyone that meets that description, yet to read, as you've alluded to numerous times, to read the comments, you would think that that's the side of the argument that has objections to this photo.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are people that are very against what happened and are happy that he left. People are saying that his apology wasn't enough, so I'm assuming those people are thankful that he resigned. However, I have yet to meet a single person who has started to say, like, okay, who's next? You know, I've yet to meet a single person that has that had an issue with Bob Garthwaite before this. You know, I think people are thinking it was a personal attack and as if it was on purpose that it was Bob Garthwaite. I don't think anyone wanted this to happen. And I think that that's the issue is people think that students on this campus are ecstatic about hating someone. And I'm sure that there is some truth to that. People do like drama. People do like to get up in arms about things. But I don't think anyone is happy that this happened.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And the other thing, and this is a counterfactual that we will never know the answer to, but had Bob Garthwaite not immediately resigned, certainly there would have been people who wanted him to resign. But as the context of this story evolved and it became clearer what happened in 1979, I'm sure that there would be students, you know, as there are today, given what did happen, students who think that this was just something that happened in college, the context was different, and there's no reason that he should have left the board. I just really, we'll never know, but it's concerning on both sides of the coin to see the just visceral demonization of anyone who could possibly have the audacity to have a different opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's a real lesson to take away. I know a lot of people have been saying, oh, well, now I got to be careful to be PC wherever I go. And I don't think that that's really what it is. I think it's, you know, just like every normal person, you know, you, at the face of it, if you're going to a party, think about how you're dressing, I think is just a simple thing.
Yeah. I also want to say that there are a great number of people who are commenting things, and we've spent a lot of this time talking about what people are commenting, and I don't recommend reading the comments, but there are people who have been saying, well, I hope all of you people that are happy Bob Garthwaite resigned, you know, never have photos of you turn up that doing something inappropriate. I would just like to say to those people, not defending anyone, but the college students today do live their lives with photos of everything they do for public consumption, for the most part, whether or not they're the ones taking the photos. You know, I think that this notion that it's exclusive to people who grew up in the pre-internet age, that things that they did in their youth are coming back to haunt them, is actually the opposite of who is most likely to have something from their youth come back to haunt them, given that, you know, everyone today who is a college student lives around cameras and such almost every hour of the day, such that even if they're not the one taking the photo, if they start to do anything, 75 people around them have a camera with a microphone that they can whip out. And so this notion that, you know, it's unique to people born or who went to college in the 1980s to have something from their past come back to haunt them is categorically absurd.
And I don't think it's fair. And like, this has been like very slightly equated to the Me Too movement, almost just about like men being coming under fire for things that have happened in their youth. And then people questioning this generation when we are in support of what's happening, of people being called out for things that have happened in their youth and that's coming back to light. I don't think it's fair that a lot of people think that your life starts at 30 or 40 now. You know, it doesn't. I don't think there's a single person that I've met at this college that looks at their life at this college and thinks that they haven't already entered the real world. I am so sick of hearing when you enter the real world. There was an op-ed that Josh Wagner, our opinions editor, wrote last year about entering the real world. And I don't agree with Josh a lot of times, but I was so in agreement with that piece because I'm so sick of it. Like Ben's saying, we are on the internet. You know, kids can post things on Snapchat within seconds. And maybe that accountability is something we need in some ways. You hear about these frat parties, like, and they don't end up happening. You know, I've heard of themes that have come through and then they've been canceled because people have realized that they're a bad idea. Maybe having to second guess things now is a good thing. Maybe the fact that people are really considering what they do on their Fridays and Saturdays at this college as 19, 20, 21 year olds is a good thing because you're thinking about your career down the road. You're thinking about what you're doing. People are making these choices now starting at 16 years of age about what they do for their career when they're 50. And yeah, people are sarcastically saying, well, think about what you're doing because in 30 years from now, this is going to be happening to you. Trust me, regardless of whether or not you're saying that, they're already thinking it and they're being productive with it. Keep it coming, honestly, because it's not a bad thing to think about your future. And I think it's so dumb, honestly, that you think that that advice of saying, oh, think about your future, think about what's going to happen to you, is anything less than just helpful advice. You think you're being snooty and you think you're being sarcastic and you think you're making fun of people for being upset about what happened. But honestly, it's just pretty good advice to think about your future. You got like 90 years on this earth. Make it worth your while. Soapbox over.
Okay. Well, I think after this week, I don't have 90 years left given my blood pressure, but
in agreement with that.
But, you know, I think your point is well taken. I will say that it is the case that no one in the 1980s or the 1990s, well, maybe by the late 1990s, but like the internet was not around yet.
Yeah.
So the idea that the yearbook would be something that every person in America could access in 10 seconds would have been a foreign concept. And that's the case. And so, you know, I think that's something that is a, I think deep in all of the points that folks have made that we have been discussing over the last few minutes, there are valuable points, you know, reasonable points to be made. I just think it's generally the case that the points are getting taken to beyond points. They're trying to score points. How about that for using points twice in two different ways? No, I mean, I think people are more interested in scoring points than making reasonable points.
Mm. Yeah. And I don't think that's, like I've said 17, 18 times on this podcast today, it's not productive. And I think, you know, I think this is a good time to bring up the hiatus that Ben enacted on the Gettysburgian discussing Garth Waite in the paper. And I think this time now for our hiatus has been, for us at least, about reflecting on everything, not just the story itself and not just what we're doing as journalists, but also just like as students of the college. We had a meeting a few days ago and it really, I think, sunk in for everyone that like we've been reporting on this nonstop, but we as people, as students of this college, some of us, Ben himself participating in the GLC, haven't taken the time really to wrap our heads around how we feel about all this. We've just been reading and rereading and posting other people's opinions. And I think in this time, in this hiatus, I think a lot of people should take the time to just reflect on what they're saying about it. You know, it again, it's a very nuanced situation, but I think everyone does need to take the time to not really form an opinion or anything like that, but just really think for a few seconds before you go on a soapbox, like I guess we have been in some ways for the last hour or so.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one consensus point from the opinion pieces that have been written in the Gettysburgian since this has come out is this is a teachable moment. It's not entirely clear what we're supposed to be learning, but I think that one thing that I would hope that folks take away from this is that immediately reacting is probably not always the best approach to dealing with things like this. And I am pleased that, you know, there are a number of people who have made thoughtful comments, not just digitally, but in person across campus. And so moving forward, you know, it will be interesting to see how this continues to transpire. Thinking about the next week, on Monday evening, the Gettysburg College Student Senate will not be considering an opinion that was passed this week by its opinions committee on condemning anti-Semitism and other forms of racial bigotry. The committee has decided they want to revisit that opinion again this week in their committee meeting before it gets presented to the full Senate. But I know that Senate President Nick Arbaugh intends to make a speech on the subject at the conclusion of Monday evening's meeting. And I think that his speech, in talking with him and with people close to him, will be about more than just Bob Garthwaite. And I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But also, in the coming week, I think we're going to continue to be learning more about who Bob Garthwaite is. We started to learn some of that towards the end of this past week. But, you know, I think that the campus will have to decide if this thing that we all purport to value, which is the notion of uncomfortable conversations, is something that is within our capacity to achieve. There are faculty members who have been as frenetic in their evaluation and public comments on this situation, if not more frenetic, than students. There, you know, if we're going to have uncomfortable conversations, they have to start with people making the conscious decision that everyone else doesn't need to know their point until they understand everyone else's point. And I haven't really seen much in the last several days to convince me that that's within our grasp. But if we're going to be this thing that is different, you know, that we say has value, that, you know, people go to big research institutions and they go to skills-based, competency-based higher education, and that we've made this conscious decision to do something different, to go to a liberal arts college that is about learning how to think and learning how to express oneself and learning how to disagree agreeably. You know, I don't think we've seen much capacity to do that this week from anyone, including the people whose job it is, supposedly, to lead those conversations. And I have to say, I think that goes up to the top. I did not see a whole lot of willingness to facilitate a conversation in any way more than saying we ought to have one from the president or from, you know, any members of the board. And maybe that's coming. I'm willing to be patient, but so far I haven't seen it. And once again, it seems like we're more interested in talking about it than actually talking about it. And this hysteria that we've been living is absolutely the antithesis to any sort of progress.
I think that's a good point to end it on.
We'll be right back with the Bullet Report. And now it's time for the Bullet Report. It's been a fairly exciting week in Gettysburg College sports action. On February the 16th, the women's basketball team defeated Bryn Mawr 86-48. The men's basketball team defeated Muhlenberg 78-69. The men's lacrosse team defeated Goucher 22-6. The women's lacrosse team defeated Messiah 17-7. It was Coach Carol Cantelli's 400th career win. The women's swimming team defeated... The women's swimming team finished 3rd of 8th in the Centennial Conference Championship, while the men finished 5th of 7. The men's swimming team finished 2nd of 7 the next day in the finals of the Centennial Conference Championship. The women finished 2nd of 8. The women's basketball team defeated Ursinus 74-51. They are currently playing as we speak in the Centennial Conference Championships. The women's lacrosse team earlier today on Saturday the 23rd defeated Stevenson 17-3, and the men were defeated by Salisbury 17-10. Thus endeth the Bullet Report. That's On Target for this week.
We would like to thank the staff of the Gettysburgian and the executive board of WCBT for their ongoing support in this project. Please be sure to subscribe to On Target on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
On Target is a joint production of the Gettysburgian and WCBT. Our theme music was composed by Diego Rocha, senior music major focusing on composition in the Sunderman Conservatory of Music. Join us next week. We'll talk to assistant professor of music theory, Bill O'Hara, about his experience teaching an online summer course. Have a great week.